Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sunday.
And happy spring. It's the first day of spring.
Oh, it is.
It is.
Oh,
today
awesome.
Is March 20th.
Awesome. I didn't even know. Welcome to our show. This is Kaylin Baker, Stephanie Greenberg, here with Sisters for Society. And today we have something great for everyone. We're going to be talking about gardening in small spaces. And this is for those people that always feel like they want to start a garden but don't have enough room, don't have enough space. We're going to talk about some ways that you can improvise.
That way you can have some fresh veggies and you don't have to go far to get them.
That's always a good thing.
And aren't they expensive at the store?
Girl, yes.
Good Lord.
It costs to be healthy.
It does. Oh, you know, you got to eat this to be healthy. Well, yeah, make it so I can actually afford it.
Yes. But you can do this at home with your kids. Get your kids involved. We urge that. Let them learn because teaching is growing and knowing. So we want to make sure that everyone can utilize this episode.
And your kids will get resentful at some point, I guarantee it. But remind them that one of these days they will be thankful. Yes, I tell mine because they're so into the zombies and the crap. I said, you know, when we have a zombie apocalypse, you're going to be thankful you know how to grow your own food.
They're like, yes, sure, Mom.
Whatever. Okay, so, well, basically, the first thing we need to talk about is the space you have. If you have a patio, if you have the side of the house, if you have a little porch, even if you just have, like, a part of your kitchen, mm-hmm. and you can do it inside when you get some grow lights or something going. And those are actually a fluorescent light fixture, the cheap ones. You need them at Home Depot, Walmart, and they have grow bulbs that you can put in them. And they're not that expensive. And you can have some guy you know build you a little structure to hold the sucker up.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to figure out your space because your plants need a minimum of 6 hours of sun a day. So 6 to 8 hours is ideal. You don't want them shaded half the day. Plants that grow fruits and vegetables need a minimum of 6 hours of sun a day. So figure out your space. Figure out if you're going to do a large, like, raised container garden, or you're going to do some pots.
Mm-hmm.
You can stagger pots. You know, put a tall one in the back and smaller ones as you come forward. Group mm-hmm. them all together. You know, do the same colors or do same texture patterns or
yes.
you know. But so you can figure out if you're going to use what kind of container you're going to use.
I've seen my couple of our neighbors in our neighborhood have the raised gardens, and I talked to one of them, and they got it from, I think, Sam's.
Mm-hmm.
Sam's
Castle,
the,
right?
The plastic. Yes, and it was a nice little.
It's $89. I'm getting one.
oh, you're talking about the 4x4 on the ground?
I think it was a 4x4, yeah.
That one?
56 or
60. Yeah, it wasn't too big. It was
yeah.
really small.
But they've got a raised one. I want to put, like, lettuces and stuff out on the back porch
mm-hmm.
so I can get to it, you know, easier.
Yeah.
With me bending is. Uh-huh. You know, a problem
uh-huh.
on occasion. But
those are things that you can use.
Right. And you can use a palette turned on end. You paint it.
Okay.
Take some of the flats out. You put little pots in there.
Mm-hmm.
You can grow herbs and spices and that kind of stuff in there.
Okay.
So figure out your space. There's all kinds of ideas on Pinterest. That is a wealth of information on coming up with ideas for your container. Now, your next one is going to be your source of water.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get it? How are you going to get everything watered? Do you have a water hose?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting a watering can and watering it?
Mm-hmm.
So those are your first things. Your drainage. You want to make sure wherever you're putting your stuff that it's not going to be sitting in a puddle of water because it will
mm-hmm.
rot the roots
mm-hmm.
and then nothing will grow and you'll just be frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you have a source of drainage. Mm-hmm. You want to use a good topsoil, garden soil, potting soil, a mixture of each, so some peat moss and some vermiculite in there with it. So your pots, if you're doing a pot, vermiculite, V-E-R-M-I-C-U-L-I-T-E, I believe it is. It helps retain water.
Okay.
So you need to water every day, but you want to make sure that the excess water drains out, but this keeps the dirt moist Okay.
So in your pots or your planters, put down a layer of gravel to help with any drainage so you don't have standing water. I usually use screening material, like you would rescreen your window screen, and I put it over the rock, and I put my soil on top of that. That keeps the soil from all washing out. So, and then, so I mix some peat, potting soil, garden soil. I like the Miracle-Gro. They have the one that holds moisture. I mix it all together.
Okay.
I make my own mix.
Now, where can you find this seed and Miracle-Gro?
Most of it you can get at Home Depot.
Okay.
I get some of it at Big Lot.
Okay.
Walmart.
Okay.
You
so something that's
yeah.
Very
the vermiculite might be the only thing that you have, and you can get that from most nurseries.
Okay.
And it's not very expensive.
Okay.
So and you just mix it up together. Make sure you have a good base, and get that in your container. You know, leave a little space from the top. Then, so then we're going to talk about what kind of plants you can put in there. So let's talk about the different kinds of plants. So for your tomatoes, and all, you're going to have determinate and indeterminate. Now, these are really not as hard as they make it seem. Determinate tomatoes, it's like it grows in a bush. Basically, it gets to a certain size and it doesn't grow anymore. The size is determinate. The indeterminate, it just keeps growing. So you can put that on a trellis if you have that kind of space. If you don't have that kind of space, you don't plan on doing a trellis in the back of your, I would say just get your determinate. It's going to grow into a bush and that's going to be it.
Now, are they identified when you go to the store looking for
them? They're on the little tags. They'll tell you. And if it doesn't, you can ask somebody that works there because they will tell you. But yeah.
Note to the public, I'm not a gardener. That's why I'm asking questions.
Yeah. So, well, you know, some of your, like the aromas, a lot of the, some of those come in both determinate and indeterminate. Yeah. But, you know, so stick with the ones that say, like, patio tomatoes.
Okay.
Those are going to be a good one to go in a pot.
Okay.
Because that's what they're designed to do. It's
right.
going to just be a bush. It's only going to get so big.
Right.
It's only going to produce so many tomatoes, and you're done. So melons, I will tell you that they require a whole lot of space. And I do mean a whole lot of space. They vine out, and they cover everything. But there are dwarf melons that grow more towards like a bush type than the vining, and you can put those in a pot.
No, those are small.
That's not small.
Okay.
But some of them can grow full size melons
if
you take care of them right.
Right.
They just the vines, you know, the plant itself doesn't, you know, become this huge monster and take over. Beans and southern peas, like the snow peas, that kind of stuff. The bush types, they require less space. If you're going to do a trellis, you can do beans up a trellis. You can do cucumbers up a trellis. The small cantaloupes, you can do up a trellis. The indeterminate tomatoes, you can do up a trellis, that kind of stuff. But
the small spaces, and they want to stick with
the little dwarf. Yeah, and in a bush type.
Okay.
So
now let me ask you a question. So I remember growing up, we had these things called snappies. Snappies. So how do you grow those?
There are different kinds. There are the bush ones, and then there are the vining ones.
Okay.
And I put them on a flame and grow them up the flame.
Oh, okay.
And then just
pick them off.
Exactly.
And snap them.
And snap them. Yes. And they're very good. And the snow peas, you do the same thing because if you drop, if you put out like a frame and then just drop strings down, it'll attach to the strings and grow up the strings.
Okay.
The snow peas.
Okay.
And those, you know, you can either snap them open and get the peas out or you just eat the whole thing.
Right.
You know, and we get a lot of those. Now your lettuces, your mustard greens, your onions, radishes, spinach, collards, kale, any of that kind of stuff, they're more compact. Now, your mustard greens get pretty big if you let them. They'll get huge.
mm-hmm. and collard greens too. But if you plant them and you pick them when they're small and still tender,
mm-hmm.
then you can, those don't get real big. You know, you can keep them small as you eat them.
Okay.
So they don't take up a ton of space.
Okay.
So,
now what about the herbs and your spices and stuff? Some of those you can grow too, right?
Absolutely.
So, say
you have like a lemon tree,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a pot
mm-hmm.
on your porch because you want to bring it in during winter.
Right.
You know, because it'll freeze to death out
mm-hmm.
here. You can plant herbs at the bottom in the pot around the base of the tree.
Oh.
Or you can put them in between some of these plants. And lavender and marigolds
mm-hmm.
are the best things. Always put at least marigolds in any of your potted plants. It keeps a lot of the pests away.
Oh,
it is a great pest of time.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, and lavender smells good.
You get a
super one. Right. You get a super one. It puts stuff back in the soil that's really good for it,
mm-hmm.
nutrients back in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty to look at,
mm-hmm.
and they keep away the pests.
Awesome.
So, it's the 3-for-1.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and then lavender is the same. It smells really nice, and it keeps a lot of pests away. So, when you are, okay, so you've got your pot set up. You know what you've decided what you want to plant.
Mm-hmm.
You choose whether you're going to do it from seed. I normally do, but I promised my husband this year I would not. He says, we're wanting to move. Please don't put seeds all over the house.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I promised him I would just buy the plants already started. And you can get a great selection if you go around.
Mm-hmm.
Different places will carry different types, but most of them carry most of the same things.
Right.
But Pike's has a good, the regular selection.
Okay.
So they've got some, you know, a more little unusual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So say you have a 4x4 raised garden
mm-hmm.
that you want to plant. That's not quite the size. It's a little bit bigger than this table. So you want to make sure that the tallest of your plant is on one side. You're gonna plant from the tallest down to the shortest,
okay.
so that you're not, you know, having to go around
yeah.
all your tall stuff. And then you want to put, you want to start where the tall plants are on your north side, the north side.
Okay.
And most farms nowadays have a compass. You can figure out what's your north side. So put all your tall plants on the north side so they don't shade the other ones.
Right.
So then that'll keep the sun on everything else.
Okay.
So then do your, you know, put your trellis up. You can put small cucumbers on there,
mm-hmm.
or you can put beans, or you can put your vining tomatoes. I really suggest you go with the determinate, the smaller container tomatoes, the patio tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do the beans or the cucumbers or the little cantaloupes and grow those on the trellis in the back. When you do that, as the fruit comes in, like the cantaloupes and the cucumbers,
mm-hmm.
They have different ways to support them. I'll tell you the cheapest way. You got an old pantyhose laying around?
Mm-hmm.
Cut the seed out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Put the melon in there and tie it using twist ties or something to your trellis.
Yeah.
It supports the weight of the fruit so it doesn't yank off
mm-hmm.
the vine
mm-hmm.
before it's ripe. And it's cheap. My grandmother has so many pantyhose laying around. I have bags of them. It'll last me years. Years of doing it. So,
you know, it's a little knee-high kind.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and you can either tie those around the trellis or use a twist tie and tie
mm-hmm.
it up. But use that to support your little cucumbers and your little cantaloupes and stuff as they're growing up. Now, beans, we have got some kind of little, it looks like a ladybug, but they're yellow and orange. I like the coppery color.
Mm-hmm.
They are called Mexican bean beetles. And let me tell you, they take over.
Oh.
So check your leaves. They start off as little tiny yellow spots on the backs of your leaves. Those are your eggs.
Mm.
Mush them fast. Cut it out of the leaves, get rid of it, kill them suckers. Because if you let them hatch, then you've got these little, it looks like almost like little caterpillars, little tiny caterpillars with little pointy things sticking off of them,
mm-hmm.
and they're all yellow. And then they grow into the ladybug cousins, the orange and the kind of coppery orange and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And they eat all the green out of, they leave the webbing from the leaves. So you'll come in, a whole leaf will be like missing except for the veins. It's all there.
Wow.
It's, and they eat everything. They eat the beans, they eat the leaves, they eat everything.
Oh, wow.
And the beans need the leaves as a little bit of a shade to grow. So there are organic things to help, but these don't seem to be affected too much. And I'm very into organic gardening. I don't put added things. You know, I only put, like with my tomatoes, when I plant my tomatoes, I put a little bit of Epsom salt down in the bottom. It helps. I do put coffee grounds down. You can get those at Starbucks. So, you know, they'll give you the bags of coffee grounds. Banana peels, eggshells, break them down, chop them up and plant them around your plants. They're great sources of vitamins and nutrients for the soil, and they break down. Okay, so start with your large trellis items, and then have your supports ready so when your fruit starts coming in, you can tie it up. And the reason I say the pantyhose is stretch. So your cantaloupe starts getting, you know, yeah, 6 or 8 inches across, so pantyhose are going to stretch and at least let it grow.
Right.
So, but then you've got... So in front of that, you want to do your taller bush, your peppers, your jalapenos or your, you know, bell peppers if you're going to do those, and your bush tomatoes.
Now, can you do these, any of these? Like, you know, sometimes you see those hanging flower pots? So
yes, you
can use some of those.
You can hang them from the porch rails.
Yeah.
I've got one of those fans on the back. I've got rosemary in it. Those are great for patio tomatoes.
Okay.
They have them for peppers.
Okay.
And then herbs and stuff. Yeah, those are great for those. And they do work well.
So
if they're only good for a year,
okay.
they crumble. They break down.
Okay. Well, it's still good to start small, especially for someone that...
Oh, yeah.
Not
if you've never grown anything, absolutely.
Growing.
Yeah.
I know me, I'll probably just do one. And if it don't work, I come to your house. So it always works out for me.
Right. Yeah, it does. Or I just drop them off in a bag on my way home.
It's like, okay, you take my son. We go. He's going to help you do garden. I get food. Back.
That's right.
So it works out. I got a win-win situation.
Yeah, you do. You do. Anyway, so... All right, so in front of your tall stuff, put your tomatoes or your peppers, the taller, you know, your taller items. And then in front of that, you want to do your lettuces and your collards and your kale. Now, they can get tall, like I said, if you don't keep them small. So just, you know, pick them if they're 6 inches maybe long. And keep them trimmed down. That'll keep overgrowth. Now, if any of your plants start looking unhealthy, then pull them out immediately because whatever they have, you don't want everything else to get it.
Oh, so it can spread?
It can spread.
Oh.
Tomatoes and peppers, they get, their leaves will start turning yellow. It's like a fungus. And there's copper fungicide you can get put on it to treat for it if you can catch it in time. Otherwise, the plants are goner. It'll still produce, and the tomatoes and everything is still fine, but the plant's dead eventually. So, you know, if you start seeing any of that, pull those branches off, use disposable gloves. Cut it all off. Get rid of everything.
Yeah.
Do not put it in any kind of a compost because it just spreads. Get rid of it. You know, you don't want to spread it to something else in another year or two.
Right.
But... So just work yourself, you know, work yourself down, stagger your pots, you put them all together in one space, stagger them around the yard. You can do different things in different places. Add some flowers because the bees that pollinate your plants love flowers, and don't swat at them.
See, that would be me.
Yeah, they will not bother you if you do not bother them. And the boys will tell you because they've seen you do it. We've got the big honeybees at the garden. And during the winter when they're real docile because it's cold and they don't have the energy, I pet them when they're on the like beyond one of the posts or something by my garden. And I reach up and pet them. The boys are like, you're crazy. I'm like, they're too tired right now to do anything. And I'm not hurting them.
Right, right.
You know, all I'm doing is petting them and they don't seem to mind.
Oh, wow.
But they like flowers. Mm-hmm. And they need the pollen. The pollen gives them the energy to fly around and, you know, so they have to, and then they have to pollinate your stuff. Also, you need to make sure
that you made them become your friends and your garden to be beautiful.
Absolutely. You plant flowers to make sure that they want to be there. That's what I do.
She's making friends with the bees. So she's kind of a little bit got an advantage on y'all. I'm just saying. She's like Snow White or something.
Yeah. But I know I need to plant what they like. And there are guides online. There's one you should particularly look up called a companion planting guide. And if you don't have a computer, you don't have access, there are all kinds of gardening clubs and stuff out there that are more than happy to help you.
Don't Home Depot do something?
They can help you. But you want to make sure that you're planting things that are compatible.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things like, and I can't really think of, there's a few things that don't like each other.
Uh-huh.
So you don't want to plant them together.
Right.
But I know, like, we used to plant, okay, so in California we had gophers.
Okay,
these are underground rats. So they would come up underground and take an entire 3-foot tall tomato plant right straight down the hole.
Mm.
Gone.
Mm.
The whole plant.
Wow.
They'd be like one tiny little branch.
I won't assume that on cartoon.
Right, that's what I thought. I'm like standing in a cartoon, right? So I come up and I've got three complete tomato plants missing. So they say, okay, they don't like garlic and they don't like onions. So okay, I planted garlic and onions all the way around my tomato plants, all over the place. And these do get along; they are companion plants. So I planted these suckers everywhere. They don't like garlic. They don't like onions. Then why are they eating them? I've come back; the whole bottom of an onion plant is missing, and the tomato plant next to it's gone.
Oh my goodness! So they tricked you.
Who said they didn't like them? Because they certainly seem to like mine just fine. So then, yeah. So you have to be.
That's funny.
Out here, you guys have more of a problem with deer.
Oh.
So I know my aunt and uncle. My garden in California was 75 feet by 100 feet. It was a nice big. And my dad fenced it all in. We had a gate where he could drive the tractor in to do everything. And then Bill and I dug trenches and put in a whole above-ground irrigation system. 6 or 8 feet high. So it just watered everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Then we moved here. And they let it go to crap. But here, you guys don't have the gophers. But you have deer.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there was turtles eating my tomatoes this last year. And bunnies, and you know,
we have everything else.
We had bunnies too, but they've got the whole garden fenced in. And my aunt and uncle had to go as far as to make it electric because the deer would push over the fence to get to the tomatoes.
Oh wow!
So yeah, so they actually electrified the fence around their garden, and that seems to work better for them.
Okay.
So I think I'm gonna use that idea on my fence for my dog. Maggie can jump out of a 6-foot dog run.
Yeah.
Yeah, right over the top. I'm electrify the fence when I get one. But there is so much information available online that people really need to look into. You want to plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So figure out your spacing. Obviously, when you're planting in a small space and it says these tomatoes need 12 inches, you don't have 12 inches. So you're going to plant them as far apart as you can, and then plant little stuff in between them.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure that you get everything watered.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to dry out, but you don't want it to stand flooded. Make sure they get plenty of sun.
Mm-hmm.
Little TLC, stop yawning.
Sorry, I thought it'd be ugly.
I know. Okay, so just TLC. That's the biggest thing. Is TLC, because let me tell you, I can kill any house plant.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to growing things outdoors, I have got a knack for it. And I don't know how,
mm-hmm.
but Google has been my best friend. Because I Google everything.
Right.
The first year I grew potatoes, my dad laughed at me. Oh, my God, what are you doing? He said, those things are so cheap. I said, I have a lot of space here. I just want to try it. Not, you know, nothing that,
no,
I just want to try it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We had a lot of potatoes up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew like 2 25-foot rows. So I'm into my parents. And the next thing I know is the whole other row is dug up. My dad said, those things were so good. I'm like, well, I only planned this many because you said they're cheap. He said, I've never had potatoes that tasted like that. And they were. They were the tastiest potatoes I'd ever had. They were really, really good.
And they say that you can definitely tell, and you actually can because I witnessed it myself, a difference between what you buy in the stores and what you grow at home.
Huge difference. For a couple of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The main one being when you're growing it yourself, the sun's just come off of it. You pick it, you take it inside. Within a day or so, you're fixing it.
Right.
And if you're not, there's these little things called spaghetti kernels, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Green bags.
Oh, yeah.
Those things are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely suggest you invest in some of those. Get your 20% off at Bed Bath and Beyond, and you'll get them for $7 or $8.
Yep.
But so you bring them in fresh from the sun. The ones that are in your grocery store have been stored in a refrigerator, which changes the taste of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have been shipped and shipped and probably shipped again.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff comes from Mexico or Chile or wherever else they're bringing it in from.
Right.
So it's not fresh. It's been sitting for a little while. And that's the main reason. Plus, you put all the hard work into it.
Mm.
You know, it's going to make it taste better.
Right.
Anyone who's wanting to grow squash or zucchini or that kind of stuff, I suggest you put one plant in one big pot. They get very large, but they can be very prolific. And, I mean, I taught you how to make the stuffed zucchini boat.
Those are good.
Yeah. So, and you know, those are great for family, and it's just a few zucchinis will feed the whole family. But if there's any questions, you guys can email us. If I don't have the answer, I'll try to help you find it. But I strongly recommend Google. As you know, you can find out just about everything you need to know on there, and that's where I've learned that, and, you know, friends,
right,
talking to people.
Yeah.
So, but most of the garden, a lot of the people at the garden, they come to me for information.
Okay.
So
there you go. You got gardening in small spaces and how to utilize it. And if you have questions or you have a suggestion, we're going to actually air this on our Facebook anyway. So tag us on Facebook.
How about posting of your garden?
Oh, that would be awesome. And fabulous.
I would love to see that. Anybody that grows stuff, send some pictures up. And I'll try to post some pictures of mine, too.
That would be awesome.
Yep.
So that pretty much wraps up this episode. So just to kind of brief you and let you know what's going on with the Sephora Society, we currently have a Twitter, and you can... And our Twitter is twitter.com/sisters4society. We have an Instagram with the same. It's
Hashtag sisters4society is the number.
Oh.
Twitter is the
at sign.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. So it's the
We're at still sign. Learning. Give
us some time. But we are always on Facebook and the sisters, the number 4. Society. You can look us up either way.
Visit us on our website. We would love to see you at our Stay Connected networking event that will be on April the 23rd from 11 to 3 at the Hilton Garden Inn located in Peachtree City. If you don't have any questions, you have any concerns, you can always email us at sisters4societycorp@gmail.com. Or visit us on the web at www.sistersforsocietycorp.com or .org. We got a lot.
We're working on it. We got a lot of dots.
Have a good day.